Greetings, friends, and welcome to another broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we are going to conclude our series of studies on the riches of God. And I think probably the study today is the most comprehensive of all the riches that God gives to us. He delights to let us partake of his riches, and I think we'll see that in the broadcast today. Now, we're going to speak of the goodness of the Godhead to us, the Father's goodness to us, the Son's goodness to us, and the Spirit's goodness to us. I think probably there are our verse today that introduces us to this subject is one of great comprehension. It takes in so many things. I'll read the verse. In Paul's epistle to Timothy, in chapter 6 of the first epistle, in verse 17 we read, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy." Now we're going to divide the subject today into three headings: the things that the Father has given us, the things that Christ has given us, and the things that the Spirit has given us. I think we've already said that. Now we'll go to the 17th chapter of the book of Acts we'll go to the 17th chapter of Acts, and then if you have your Bibles ready, we'll be ready to come to the 6th chapter of Matthew. In the 17th chapter of the Gospel according to the Acts of the Apostles, really it should be titled. And in the 17th chapter and verse 24 we read, "God that made the world," and incidentally, this message of Paul was given at Athens, that great center of idolatry. Now listen to what he says. Listen to his approach. I think it's interesting. "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things." Life, breath, and all things. So we see the gift of life is from God the Father. And certainly that is marvelous when you stop to think of it. Now we'll go to the 6th chapter of Matthew. And if you have your Bibles ready, we'll begin reading there at verse 25. These are the things that the Father has given us. And we're going to consider now the necessities of life. He's not only given us life, but he's given us the necessities of life. We begin reading verse 25 in what has been termed the most beautiful prose of passage in all of the English language. Here it is in the Sermon on the Mount. "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And then he not only gives us that, but he gives us eternal life. This is noted in the 17th chapter of John's Gospel. It's the prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's called his high priestly prayer. And the Lord Jesus, in that wonderful portion of Scripture there, is praying to his Father. Listen to what he says in verse 2 of that 17th chapter. And the Lord says, thou hast given him, and he's referring to himself. He's referring to himself in the third person. God gave his son. Thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. God gave his son the power to give us eternal life. But the Lord Jesus is careful to tell us that it originated in the Father. And then he gave us his son with everything that we need. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 32, we read there, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. And you know what that means. It means the cross. When he died there for your sins and for mine, so we could go to heaven, open the door to heaven for us. But delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I'm going to read the verse again because I interrupted the verse in the middle of the verse. He that spared not his son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He gave us the best. Now, isn't he going to give us the rest? He certainly will. Now, let's think of the things that Christ, that are specifically attributed to Christ, that he has given us. In the 11th chapter of Matthew, verse 28, the Lord Jesus is speaking. And he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that verse is very precious to me because I was led to the Lord through that verse. The Lord Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I was laboring to be justified. I was heavy laden with my sin. But he says, come to me. And I realized when that verse came to me in all its power, why, he has already died for my sins. He has taken my place on the cross already. Why am I trying to justify myself? Why don't I come to him? And I did come to him, and I found the rest that he promised. Now he promises us peace. In the 14th chapter of John's Gospel, in verse 27, we read, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The Lord spoke those words in the company of his disciples just before he was apprehended in the Garden of Gethsemane. He knew that he was going to leave them. But was he troubled about it? Did he think that the issue was in doubt? Listen again to the verse. Thou hast given him power. Verse in this 27th verse. I'm sorry. John chapter 14, verse 27. Listen to what the Lord says. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Was the Lord upset because he had to go to the cross? No. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And then our Lord Jesus Christ is said to give us light. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14, where we read there, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleeps, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Christ, light here, understanding the things of God, is attributed to Christ. And Christ shall give thee light. And oh, he gives us rest, and he gives us peace, and then he gives us light to light our way through this world. And certainly, we need the light. Now, we have yet the Spirit to consider the things that the Spirit has given us. Now, we read in our Bibles, and I should say immediately when I mention the word Bible, the Spirit of God gave us our Bible. We read in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21 there. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved or carried along by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is the author of the Word of God. He uses human men to convey the message, but he is the author. God, David said, thou hast indicted in my heart a good matter. The Spirit was working with David, and the Spirit of God reveals to his various servants, he reveals to them the message of the Bible. He is the author, and that is why it is so consistent. For instance, there are 66 books in the Bible, and there are no contradictions. There are seeming contradictions, I'll grant that. But when you look into them, put those in their context, certainly he is the author of the scriptures. Now let's go on. He is the giver of spiritual gifts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we read there what the Spirit does. He has given us all things. We read in verse 4 of that wonderful chapter, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healings by the same Spirit." Do you have any doubt in your mind when you hear this language that it's the Spirit that not only gives us the Word of God, but he gives us the ability to interpret it, to go on with the text? To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But these all worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. As he will, indeed. Now he gives the spiritual gifts to you and to me, and they are attributed to the Spirit. And oh, how wonderful it is that he gave us the Word of God. He gives us power to accomplish the service of God, and he tells us how to do it in his Word. All right, now, the Spirit of God also gives us guidance. We read in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans there in verse 14, "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." The Spirit leads us. How does he lead us? He leads us through the Word that he gave to the various writers of the Scripture. We get our instructions and our leading and guidance from the Word of God. And somehow we know when the Spirit has reached us and given us that guidance. What is his object? That we might be the sons of God. The Spirit of God is very active. Now here, we have all the members of the Trinity just teeming abundantly with the things that they've given us. Let's end with the verse that we started with. "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, not trust in certain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy." Father, bless your word to our hearts, we pray, and make us stand in awe at your wonderful kindness to us. In Christ's name, amen.